Welcome to the Joyful Health Show. I'm your host, Casey Schuler, mom, personal trainer, and Bible study author, and I'm here to help you discover joyful health by grace. Have you ever thought, I've been trying to work through my food and body issues on my own, but I'm feeling a little stuck, like I'm not getting anywhere, or I'm not experiencing the freedom that I think I should be. I have been there too. And once I started working with the right coaches one-on-one, my progress was like night and day. I couldn't believe how quickly I grew with that one-on-one support. So now I know that when I have a major block, I want to get help sooner rather than later because I know it changes every other part of my life. And this is why we feel so strongly about one-on-ones that I want to make sure you know what we have to offer here at the Joyful Health Collective for you. So if you can imagine never having to get your body, quote, beach ready again, never even having to think about that, if you can imagine walking into a reunion just full of confidence in the Lord and completely at peace with the food on the table, or imagine picking up a new physical activity because it makes you feel alive, strong, and more connected to God instead of the calorie burn, you could do the work on your own, or you can do it with a professional who has invested much of her life into learning the human body, connecting with God, who is the ultimate healer, and who has a passion to help others go from stressed to at rest for their health. So we are here to take you along a direct path to healing your relationship with food and exercise, to challenge those old ways of thinking, to empower you to make choices that align with who God created you to be by grace. For joy. You don't have to rely on Google or guesswork. There is a real life expert waiting to meet with you. So let me introduce you to our non-diet Christian dietitian, Krista Smith. Here's a little bit more about her.
Hi friends, my name is Krista Smith. I am a registered dietitian based just outside of Oklahoma City. I have primarily specialized in sports and human performance as well as gut health, working with a variety of clients along the way, and even some subspecialties including disordered eating and impaired food and movement relationships. For the last few years, I've taught at Cedarville University and I've consulted with the athletes and even our community there, and developed talks for my church and for women's events. And it has truly been my greatest pleasure working with Christian athletes and active individuals who are desiring to seek the Lord in their health and wellness journeys to ultimately serve Him with their whole hearts, their whole bodies, their whole minds. My husband is a theologian, a professor, and a book author, and we have four amazing kiddos together. And I love spending my time with them and playing outside and cooking and always finding fun new foods to try and enjoy with them. I am so excited to be part of Joyful Health Co. And I'm so looking forward to working with you.
Okay, now that you've heard from Krista, here is what you will get when you sign up with her. You will get your own customized wellness dashboard. And here at Joyful Health, we want to prioritize your highest impact health habits. So we're going to ask you about, you know, your personal vision and mission statements. We're going to help you work through that so your life can be an overflow of your greatest purpose in the Lord. You're going to also get access to our monthly membership so you can have that group support, along with daily devotionals to continually renew your mind. And with Krista, you get one-on-ones with her. The first month you have an intensive, and the other months include two different calls, one every other week, with homework for continued growth. And she will be a touch point for you every other week that you're not meeting with her, so you have that continued support. She is also a certified health coach, which means her services are eligible for HSA or FSA reimbursement. So I encourage you to check with your employer and your insurance to see if you qualify for that. And bonus, we will give you access to our Joyful Health course if you don't already have that. It's created by a registered dietitian and personal trainer to help you build that foundation of grace with intuitive eating and joyful movement principles. So we want to make sure that you have all the education, all the equipping you need to feel empowered through your life. So if you are feeling stuck with diets, want some individualized support with intuitive eating, and are at increased risk for disease, meeting with a registered dietitian can really provide the long-term benefits that you might need. So find out if working with a non-diet Christian dietitian is right for you. You can book a discovery call with Krista by heading to joyfulhealth.co/shop. Don't wait any longer to get that healing that you need. So get started today. We can't wait to meet with you. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Joyful Health Show. And today we are talking about what your body says about who God is. I'm really excited to talk on this topic because I think oftentimes, even as Christians, we tend to despise our bodies because we think that we need to look a certain way in order to present ourselves to the world as acceptable. And that, my friends, is just not true. Your body is created by God, and I want to shine the light on the majesty and glory that your body is and miracle that you are for living and breathing right now. And it's all because of the Lord. And we want to let that light shine. So this season and the podcast, we are reaching out and growing up, equipping the saints for the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12. So how is this building you up today? Hopefully this will encourage you to show up just as you are and be able to accept others for who they are in the body that they have, because their body says something unique about who God is, that their body reflects God in a way that no body else can. And so some of the scriptures that I have around this is Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you, the psalmist says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. For those of us who cannot repeat this psalm with integrity and confidence, this is for you. And then Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from his workmanship. So your body is his workmanship. It is a way that we get to display the glory of God. There is a book that informed my view of our bodies and having an embodied faith. And it's called What Your Body Knows About God. And it's by author Rob Mull. I gained a lot of inspiration from him in this talk, but I'm going to switch it around a little bit. First, I'm going to say who God is, going through a few of God's names that he calls himself in scripture. And then I'm going to reflect that of what your body says and how your body glorifies God. So let's quickly talk about the word glorifies. What does it mean to glorify God? If we can think about the sun and its rays being the glory of the sun, then you being able to show up is you reflecting God as his ambassador and who he is in the world, and that we are made in his image. And so by people seeing us, the hope is that they will see the Lord. And we know as Christians that we have died to ourselves, to our sin. And so that as we live in the body, we live by faith. So hopefully it's not just a pretty face that someone sees when they look at you, but they will see the eyes of love, because you are able to love that person because you're not thinking about having to change your own appearance. You're able then to rest in who God made you to be and how he made you, because that is a way that we get to show up and shine his light. So who is God? He says that he is Elohim, the creator. Elohim is the name of God. When in Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then literally it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. The Hebrew word is from the two root words, El, which means strength and an unlimited power, and the last part, Allah, which means to keep a promise. Elohim is a plural noun, and that indicates the relationship of the Trinity, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the account of Genesis, God said, "Let us make man and woman in our image." So what does your body say about having a creator? I don't know about you, but I did not create myself. There are things that I have created because I reflect the nature of God as a creator. But if we can just think about some of the wonders of our body and point to the amazing, wonderful fact that we do have a creator, consider the fact that your heart beats in your chest and has been beating since before you were born, and it will not stop beating until the day that you die. This is something that God has ordained and that He keeps. And so also think about your lungs. These are the inner workings of our body that we don't typically think about, especially if we're focused on appearance or weight loss or changing our body to a certain ideal. Just consider what some of those internal organs. Our lungs, for example, have enough surface capacity to cover an entire tennis court. So it's pretty wild what is inside of our body. And I remember hearing a presentation or a sermon from Louis Giglio, and he talked about this glue inside of our cells that holds our cells together called laminin. And you can Google or YouTube this presentation that he does. So you can just type in Louis Giglio laminin. But this laminin is in the shape of a cross. And so isn't that amazing? Because Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things are created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, and all things have been created through him, for him, and in him all things hold together." So this is just one special indicator that this is something unseen that is hidden inside of our bodies that just points to God as the creator. Okay, number two, God is the God who gave you birth. This is a name for God. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel," and you can put your own name too in there. He created you, he formed you. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." He has redeemed you. "For I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So God is essentially saying in this verse that I birthed you, I'm going to take care of you. And isn't this the role of a mother? For the women who have the ability to have babies and to give birth to human beings, that is a miracle in itself, having experienced that two times. Being able to not only give birth to someone, but to take care of that person, to nourish them and cherish them for, you know, until their whole life. And that's what God does for us. He is the God who gave birth to us. And then just think of some of the ways that your body does already take care of you. Your body protects you from starvation. You get hunger cues. Those are very good. It's very good to get hungry because your body is saying, hey, it's time to eat. We want to survive. And also, this is when dieting backfires, is when we restrict those calories. Our body thinks that we are in a famine and has adapted in a beautiful way to hold on to nourishment. And then thinking about fight or flight mode, then nervous system responses that we have when in a dangerous situation. We have adrenaline that gets pumped through our bodies so that we are able to either fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Anytime I feel like I look into this, there's some new word added on, and I think I can probably most relate with freeze. I definitely freeze like a deer in headlights in any given emergency situation, but I know that is my body taking care of me. And so that is a reflection of God taking care of you. So isn't that beautiful? Number three, Emmanuel, God with us. This may be one of my favorites. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. So who is this? This is Jesus. And so the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us from the Gospel of John, we know that our own body is a temple. So your body being with you is a reflection of God being with you, that God put on flesh to be with us. So consider that, you know, 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? So we have our body as a reflection of the Holy Spirit being with us. I think I had that the most clear experience of this when I was pregnant with my second child, and I thought, oh, you know, she must feel really alone in there because she's, you know, in the womb. But God said, no, she's like you are to me, closer than flesh. And so, so believing that God births us, he carries us, he is with us. And by faith, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And Revelation, painting that picture of hope as that this is God's plan all along. It's for the dwelling place of God to be with man. Isn't that incredible? And our bodies are a living reflection of that. Number four, El Roy, the God who sees. This comes from Genesis 6:13, from the story of Hagar. And she was fled to the desert. She had no hope. She thought she was going to starve. Her child was going to starve. She was abandoned, essentially. And then she calls out to God. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees," for she said, Have I also here seen him who sees me?" And so this is when God saw her predicament and he provided for her in the wilderness, in the desert, and said, "Return to your servant Sarah." And Sarah and Abraham were the ones who God gave the promise to, but God was blessing Hagar in the moment. He was personal with her. He wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And that God sees you. I just think about the incredible ability of our eyes to see. And, you know, we don't think about it often, but my daughter, who is learning a little bit more about color and light, she said, you know, that our eyes are light detectors, and that color is that, you know, animal over there isn't actually brown. It's just that the light is brown. And I said, I know, isn't that amazing? And I didn't even get into the whole fact that what you see is actually an upside down image that your brain turns right side up. There's so many incredible facets about our eyes, and it's a reflection of how God sees us. He is the light of the world, and that with our eyes, we get to see him reflected in the world and to come alive, and that he sees each and every one of us when we are in trouble. He sees us. He watches over us. If his eye is on the sparrow, then we are of more value than the sparrow. Okay, let's think about God being the Word, Logos. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," from John 1:1. Consider your words. Your words have power, and this is something that the Hebrew people believe very strongly in, which is, you know, in Genesis, God created by speaking. He spoke a whole entire universe into existence with his words. So consider what the power of your words are today. Your words have blessings or curses. And what are you saying about your own body? Are you speaking blessings or curses over your own body or over others. And I think there is a lot of grace here. But if we can lean into the power of words and the power that the Word of God is, and that Jesus was the Word made flesh. So when in doubt, we can keep our eyes on Him and He can give us those words to speak. Okay, number 6, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And this is from Judges 6, 23 through 24. And this is Gideon saying that the Lord is peace. He built an altar to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. And God confirmed that in writing it down in scripture. And so how does our body reflect the peace of God? And I think about too is Psalm 23 is that He, our shepherd, guides us and leads us, and our bodies can guide us and lead us into places of peace. So we have that fight or flight mode, and we can move away from dangerous situations, or we can move into peaceful situations. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, as being able to experience peace. And even breathing and exhaling and using our breath to engage that parasympathetic nervous system to restore a sense of contentment and safety in our bodies, that is huge. And it also reflects God being our peace. Number 7, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And this reflects the story of Abraham and sacrificing his son, but then God provided a ram instead, and that Jesus is our substitutionary sacrifice, that God provided Jesus for us instead. And so thinking about providing for one another as a reflection of God being our provider. My husband provides financially for us, and I provide a lot of care for our children and our family. And so how does your body reflect God the provider? What are you providing for another? And how is that a reflection of the Lord? Jehovah Rapha, this is one of my favorites that I've been digging into. And this is from Exodus 15, 26. And God is talking to the Israelites, and He said, I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. And Rapha means to restore to its function, or to restore to its proper place. And so think of the way that your body heals. When's the last time that you got a cut or a bruise? I got a bruise from playing softball the other day, and I thought, wow, I haven't gotten a bruise in a while. But I think we take for granted the healing properties that our body has. And this was a huge eye-opener for me when I started pulling away from diets and counting calories. And someone had said, you know, your body's really good at healing itself. When you get a cut, your body will put down collagen and put down new tissue, and it will actually be stronger. And so I thought, oh, wow, that's very true. Our body is naturally healing, and so it's naturally inclined towards life. And so those hunger and fullness cues are very valuable. And even when we have been dieting for years and years and years, our body still has the ability to heal. We still have the ability to tune in to those cues with time and with work. So I wouldn't say, you know, hey, you should be able to do this today, because it is a process. And sometimes you do need a coach or, a counselor, a dietitian, to see that progress of healing your metabolism, of healing those intuitive cues. So if you want more about that, joyfulhealth.co, we have lots of resources. I would encourage you to talk to us. Number 9, last and final, is Jesus, the Lord saves. So God's name for being the one who saves is Jesus. Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came as God in the flesh, This redeems the body in and of itself, that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he was perfect. And so we don't have to think about our bodies inherently being sinful. And I have a talk on this in our Non-Diet Christian Academy about what is the difference between satisfying the flesh and surrendering to the spirit. What does scripture say about the flesh in general? It is not all bad. In fact, the word flesh is used in different ways. One of them is to refer to the body of Christ. One of them is to refer to marriage and becoming one flesh. So I want to also think about the name Jesus. When someone says the name Jesus, and I'm wondering what your physical reaction is as I say God's name, because people do have visceral reactions to the name Jesus. In John 18:6, when people came to arrest him, he said, "Who are you seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth." And they drew back and fell to the ground. You know, C.S. Lewis says that we can either think about Jesus as Lord, lunatic, or liar. And I think about, if you think of Jesus as a liar, then you might cringe when you hear his name, or you might see that reaction in someone. If you think of Jesus as a lunatic, that he was just crazy, he called himself God, then you might kind of roll your eyes. But what about if you think of Jesus as Lord? Do you stand up straighter? Do you want to fall down and worship? Do you want to bow your head to your heart and say, "Yes, Lord, that I need you, because you're the only one who can save me from myself. You're the only one who can save me from my sins, from these evil circumstances." And so your body can tell that story. So I hope this helps you in understanding a little bit more about what your own body says about who God is. So don't shrink back today and showing up. Shine that light and, you know, think of this in a new way of hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to go to the beach and wear the bathing suit. I'm not going to think about myself. What can I do to not think about myself, but to instead love someone in front of me, with my eyes, with my words, with my hands, to provide in the way that shows who God is in this world. That is our great privilege and honor as Christians. So let me pray for us as we go. Jesus, I thank you for coming to the world to put on a body. It was not always comfortable or easy. I thank you that you can relate to us and our sufferings, because you suffered for us on our behalf. I pray for those who are really struggling with seeing their body as good and reconciling the fact that you made them and that their body says a lot about who you are as their creator, as the one who gave them birth, as the one who watches over them and cares for them so much. I pray that they would just be able to rest in your presence, that their body is a home and a temple for you. I'm so, so thankful for you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, friends, until next time, may you rest in his grace and follow the joy.
Hey, congrats! If you are hearing this, that means you've made it to the finish line. Give yourself a high five for me. Thank you for listening all the way through. I hope and pray this episode has blessed you so that you can more fully enjoy God, glorifying him, and blessing others. If you want to talk about this episode with more Joyful Health friends, join our free Facebook community. Head to joyfulhealth.co/podcast and get connected with us there. Before you move on with your day, would you consider taking a moment with the Lord in prayer to process what you have heard in the podcast? Ask God what he is revealing to you about himself and what you can do in response. And for all my regular listeners, thank you in advance for writing a review and sharing this podcast with someone else who is tired of the wellness rules and is ready to rest in God's grace and the Holy Spirit's power for their health. A big, giant thank you to all our podcast guests and to my husband, Maddox Schuler, for writing and recording our podcast music. It takes a village, and we are glad that you are a part of ours.